This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
I think I've said it a couple of times already that we're at the midway point, but this time we're actually at the midway point for high school football this year.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of maybe a couple of private schools, everybody's played 5 games. And, you know, some teams, they've burned through their bye week and we're all there 2 games into the, sort of the district slate of things, and things are starting to add up quickly, and we'll see what happens from here now.
So let's start with the C&G Road Grader of the Week, and this one actually comes to us in sort of unique fashion. Fluvanna County's Eli Hartzog. We didn't know about this. We didn't have anybody at the Orange Fluvanna game, but got a chance to go some of the Fluvanna players, and Colby Martin threw some love to Eli Hartzog, who had the forced fumble that created the fumble return for a touchdown that was huge against Orange. You know, when you get, you can tell Fluvanna's really got everything kind of working, the mojo's kind of working when they get all the breaks in a game like that. And Hartzog was a big reason why.
Yeah, I mean, they sort of talk about luck in sports, and like there is no such thing. You sort of create it yourself, or at least that's what the winning teams do.
Right.
And in Fluvanna's case, here we are with a nice record, looking very good, and all of a sudden, luck starts to come into play. Right,
big time.
Yeah, this is a huge one. I mean, I think this was a game where a lot of people thought, okay, maybe Fluvanna comes back down to earth a little bit here. But if you can line up with Orange in the trenches and try and slow down Jalen Alexander, you got yourself a shot. That's what they did. They got points defensively in this one. That's huge. I mean, it's very easy to win football games if your defense is scoring. So if you're Hartzog and Fluvanna, you got to be elated that you're able to come out there and make that play and just sort of kickstart this thing into a different gear for Fluvanna. I mean, the way they have to feel, they felt great after that win over Madison. Felt even better after that win over Monticello. I think this one is like, okay, we're on to something.
Yeah, I think it's a big one. And you know, we talked a lot about the Fluvanna offensive line last week where they were able to kind of get things moving with that wing T. The offense wasn't overwhelmingly impressive in this one. They had 2 defensive touchdowns to get this one done. I think it was Kozak that had the fumble return for a touchdown. But Hartzog is the one who forced the fumble on the defensive end for them. Fluvanna remains... There are aspects of this Fluvanna team that are still a typical Fluvanna County team. That they're undersized at some key spots. Hartzog is one of those guys, but he's a strong guy, shot put guy from the region. I think he had an all region performance as a shot putter. So they've got some guys that are stepping up and making plays that they haven't made in the past, and that really changes everything.
Yeah, totally. I mean, so you look at the stats out of that game. Fluvanna had 139 yards of offense, and Orange County has 251. How do you win? Turnovers. Yeah. And so you just got to find a way to create those. If your defense, if you feel like you're giving up too much on the ground, I mean, one forced fumble makes a huge difference. One interception can make a huge difference. And all of a sudden, then that yardage game doesn't matter as much. You know, they didn't reach the end zone. The points don't go on the board, and you're safe. That's the bend but don't break sort of mentality if you can come up with those stops.
And Louisa County will tell you, and we'll talk about the Lions in a little bit, that you've got to have these guys that people don't, that aren't household names. They have to step up for you every now and then. They have to make big plays, or they just have to do their job. You know, they talk, like, one of the guys they love out there is Robbie Gwynn. We talk about him a lot. That guy constantly shows up. He constantly does his job. You got to have guys like that show up. You got to have guys like Hartzog show up, because if they're in the right place at the right time all the time, they're eventually going to make one of those big plays.
Yeah, and sometimes they only have to be in that spot the one time when the game is really going to matter.
Yeah.
And if they make the play there, all of a sudden it's different.
So big time performance from Hartzog. Offensive player of the week, we got to split it with 2 guys. And the first one's Jared Hunter at Louisa County. That's a no-brainer. 38 carries, 234 yards, 4 touchdowns. You know, they started off trying to, you know, do some of what they'd done earlier in the year. But then the field, as muddy as it was, By the way, quick shout out to the Louisa County Turf guys. As always, it still held up.
Yeah,
it didn't become a mud pit, but it was tough. It was as good as you could hope after having, I don't know, 37 straight days of rain or whatever we had. Pretty incredible. They really kind of stuck it in there. But when they figured out that it wasn't going to work to do some of the stuff they'd done earlier, they got into the old school Louisa, the real Singer Wing, O-back, spinner plays, all kinds of like the classic stuff. I think I heard a Western coach at one point say, how many times are they going to run that play? And that's like time 27 of the 38 times Jared Hunter had the ball. I mean, that's, you know, when they want to go to that, you know, we talked about Buckingham going to the night set a week ago.
It's your fastball.
When Louisa wants to go to it, they go to it. And it is very, very tough. And they just grind you out. 38 carries, 234, four touchdowns. Pretty incredible performance
for Louisa. And he's really starting to get it rolling. I thought against Albemarle, he was running really tough yards up the middle. This isn't somebody who's just squirting it out to the edge. So that's pretty cool to see that Louisa, some things never change.
And just to be clear, if he gets on the edge, he's tough too, man. We've seen him play point guard. The guy is cat quick.
Oh, very quick.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun. And that's part of what he does inside is that, like, he's through, you know, small. I'm moving right now, and I understand this is an audio medium. So Ryan's just laughing at me. But there's a way that Hunter moves that's very specific, that's very calculated, and he's just very quick. He's like a point guard. He kind of dives into these holes.
Quick cuts.
Yeah, that a lot of guys can't see or can't get through. And he's just tough as nails, man. The guy keeps coming up. Big fan of Jared Hunter and what he's been able to do. And the other guy, it's got to go. A huge win for Albemarle County to get back, or Albemarle to get back on track with a big win over Monticello, and it's got to go to DeQuandre Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, he completed five passes, and three of them were touchdowns.
Five passes, three touchdowns, pretty good.
Yep, so 5 for 8, a buck 46. Getting Miles Ward involved in a huge way. We saw that in the Louisa game. Just those two, when they're on the same page connecting, just how tough that is to stop. And it's big play stuff. It's not dink and dunk stuff. They're really dialing it up and going downfield. But then, you know, you add another 147 yards of offense on the ground, 17 touches. He's a dynamic quarterback. This is the first thing that Will Patrick said after the Albemarle-Louisa game. Was like, that guy is good, and he is hard to stop. And so we're going to see a whole lot of Albemarle's offense looking like it did against Monticello these next couple weeks. We've talked about it, I think, every single week. I'm in the department. I think Albemarle has the talent to win out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are going to get sort of on that sort of side of the field as they see more and more of them against teams that are more like them. This is going to be, you know, we're going to see a lot of Taylor running the ball. You're going to see a lot of them sort of whipping it around to Ward, and then you got to deal with Makai Washington at running back too. Yeah. That's just going to be tough. But, yeah, huge week for them, and I think they can just sort of take a breath. Like, okay, we got off the schneid. We're good. Now let's just focus on winning every play and seeing where that takes us.
Defensively, defensive player of the week, another easy pick in a big win for Goochland at home.
Yeah, Kendrick Braxton really setting the table there with an interception return that he took all the way to the other side of the field. It was almost like he was trying to kill the clock in the fourth quarter kind of thing. I like it. But four solo tackles, three assisted, another tackle for a loss. He's a guy that just really flies to the ball for them. That coaching staff loves the energy that he brings to that team. Just a guy that's always smiling, very charismatic, and yet another tool for a defense that, you know, they've already got Sam Brooks in the linebacking department, who's just unbelievable.
Sam Brooks is legit, man. I told somebody at the Louisa game, if Brandon Smith was not here, Brooks would be undoubtedly the scariest linebacker in this area.
Yeah, he's just, I mean,
with Austin Sims right there in that mix. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to leave anybody out there. But Sims, Smith, and then Brooks is in that kind of territory as far as being a great high school linebacker.
And then in front of him, he's got Jamal Carter, who was just absolutely, I mean,
Carter's been there forever, man. I feel like Carter's on his like 6-year eligibility out there at Goose.
And he got the job against Buckingham, sort of night set in a just a sloppy pit of mess of like, all right, guess who gets to dive in the middle and just sort of start the play, spearhead the attack. But it was Braxton and Brooks and all those guys that got to clean up the mess. Big day for Braxton. If they have two of them like they did last year, having, you know, Ricky Mayfield and Sam Brooks made that team really tough. Now you have Braxton and Sam Brooks. That makes them really tough.
And Jabal Carter eating up space, man. That's a that's another good defense that's been good from the start.
And a good defense that went through the hard part of their schedule now. Gushen's schedule sort of eases up until they run into Amelia for a bit. So we might see some interesting numbers from some games that they're going to be playing soon. Probably a good way for them to sort of work on roster depth and just sort of throw in some new guys into different positions and get them some snaps. But, yeah, big day and a big game for Braxton. Another win that they had that really sets it up an opportunity to put together a third straight unbeaten regular season.
So another guy that deserves a shout-out defensively, we mentioned him a little bit earlier, Colby Martin, who was willing to give his teammate a little bit of love. Martin had the pick six as well against Orange. That was a huge, huge play. And Colby Martin just keeps making big ones. He made a big hit across the middle in the Monticello game. He made a big catch for them and for Fluvanna in that game as well. Very versatile player. He's really been a big part of this renaissance for Fluvanna. And that leads us right into it. Let's talk about, we touched on it briefly, Fluvanna and Orange. That's a huge win, a different kind of win for Fluvanna County. And it prompted one coach in the JD sent me a text and said, everybody needs to stop sleeping on the flu. I mean, it is at a point now where you have to take Fluvanna County seriously. It's, you know, in a way, in the past few years, it's been, you know, one of those games that a lot of people chalked up as an automatic win, and that is no longer the case. They are tough out, and some of this is about this defense. You know, I mean, it really is about, you know, how hard they play defensively.
Yeah, I mean, in a weird way, I mean, it's a totally different scenario, but it sort of reminds me when Gushen came into the JD in that, I think it was 2009, mm-hmm. and they lost their first game against Charlottesville, and then I think people just sort of slept on them. And then they won every game on their schedule after that. But, I mean, you know, I think they finished with a share of the JD with Western, being an undefeated Western team at the end of the year there. Fluvanna has an opportunity to have that kind of season where it's just like, at some point, people are going to have to start taking you seriously. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, their schedule gets really tough really quickly. But if you can beat Orange and you can beat Monticello the way that they've beaten them, you can play. I mean, you can play in the district. You can play with anybody. It makes a huge difference. I mean, you look at that Fluvanna Charlottesville game. Who do you favor in that one? Yeah. I mean, Fluvanna's got the wins and Charlottesville doesn't. And they're, for a lot of teams, this is sort of a pride check thing because they think that they're just supposed to roll over Fluvanna, and it's not happening. And they sort of need to give Fluvanna the respect it deserves. It's not that, we're having an off year. But like, no, this team's going out there, and they're earning wins. And I think that's what the Orange win does for them, is that they went out there and they took it. Yeah. It was on the road, you know, Saturday, better conditions for them than a lot of people had on Friday. And to find a way to keep Jalen Alexander out of the end zone is so tough. I mean, he easily could have put up a 50
first team
total.
That's held him under 100 yards this year.
Yeah.
Easterview didn't do that.
Yep.
I mean, and he got banged up a little bit early in the game, and that certainly played a role. But in the end, you know, they finished that game, and they were able to swipe it.
And I think the other thing that Fluvanna has going for them is they're not leaning solely on one person to do the job.
No.
And when your team is about spreading the wealth, it allows you to soak up an injury here or there, or somebody missing some snaps here and there for,
yeah.
You know.
And they were banged up. They said that they had a couple of guys out, some key guys out, and they figured out a way to get it done. They keep plugging. That wing T allows that. It leans on balance. You know, there's not one guy that's going to get it done. It's about what's open within the system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've gotten good performances from Darius Tinsley. They've gotten good performances from Demetrius Christmas. They've gotten good performances from Prophet Harris.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, four, I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's four or five guys that have already rushed for over 100 yards on that squad. And that is a game changer. It also allows them to let the defense rest sometimes. You know, once one of several problems that Fluvanna's had over the last few years is that the defense gets no time to rest because it's three and out on offense all the time. And when that happens, you know, that wears down your defense. So even if your defense is playing well, even if Joey Van Dyke's having a good game at you know, outside backer, defensive end, or wherever he's put, you know, or Kobe Martin's having a great game at free safety, or Prophet Harris is playing great at corner, you know, it still, if you have to play all the time and the offense is only moving the ball for like 75, 80 yards in the entire game, you're going to wear down. Like, I don't care how good you are. And this has given them a chance to control the clock a little bit, to move the ball a little bit more, get first downs, keep the sticks moving a little bit, and give that defense a chance to be fresh and come out there and make plays. Again, like you said, very tough, you know, deal coming up. They, you know, yeah, they'll face Tobias Foley. They'll face Charlottesville. Charlottesville's a bigger, tougher, very tough schedule. We know EC Glass, for one, is totally for real. Mm-hmm. They played Palatine a little closer than anybody really realized. You know, they did get doors blown off a little bit against Orange. But they've got some pieces, and they have Foley, and that is enough to kind of keep them in it and let them hang in it. I think they got Tamarius Washington back at quarterback last week. That's a really big step in the right direction. So, you know, that's going to be a tough matchup. But every matchup is tough in the Jefferson.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they follow up Charlottesville with Western, uh-huh, Louisa, Albemarle. Like, those are some big hitters coming up.
Powhatan.
Yeah. So, you know,
this, still a lot of work to do.
Yeah, you don't say that, you know, the Charlottesville game is must-win territory for them, but it will make a big difference if they win that game and how things shake out for them if they make the postseason. Yeah,
it's time to start talking playoff picture with Fluvanna County football. We're going to know a little more about the playoffs. Thursday, the VHSL is going to do their first release of the top 20, the standings for the playoffs. So we're going to know a little bit more about where everything sits. But, you know, we know for a fact that Fluvanna beating Orange is huge because of the points of playing two divisions up. Mm-hmm. That's going to be big. I mean, you know, they might already be in, and, you know, and then you start talking about, like, if you win two more, you start talking about Fluvanna County hosting a playoff game, which is not a sentence that maybe any of us thought we were going to be putting together over the last couple of years. So, a big performance for them. Orange County, a tough loss for them, but if Alexander gets healthy and they kind of get things straightened out, they should be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, Orange has so many weapons. That's
Chris Washington, by the way, two touchdowns in this one. Washington continues to really be pretty darn good.
Yeah, you know, Walker Johnson and Alexander and Washington, all these guys. Orange has the pieces to put everything together. You know, they've had some hiccups, but they, you know, after the last one against Botsy, they came out and corrected it.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they do that again. You know, Orange has the opportunity to put together a lot more wins too. But then also, like, your game, Western Louisa, maybe two of the top teams at this moment in the JD meeting up with each other. That's a huge one too. Seeing, like, can Western hang in there? Could they go in there and try and upset them? And I think they showed something, and Louisa showed an awful lot itself too.
Yeah, I think one thing you would have really liked to see, by the way, very nice segue. Usually segues are my thing. Yeah. Stop stealing my thing. It's exciting. It would have been exciting to see if Carter Shiflett had been healthy, what Western could do. The problem that Carter Shiflett being out at quarterback creates is that Wyatt Hull has to move over, and Wyatt Hull is probably their most explosive receiver. So you take him off the board, that kind of takes the ability to stretch a Louisa defense that you desperately need to be able to stretch off the table. And so then Louisa is hunting. And when Louisa's hunting, you're going to be in some trouble. Sims and Smith, man, we haven't seen too many linebacking tandems as good as those guys. And the crazy thing about Louisa is that they play that, you know, 3-5-3, and so there's like a lot of other linebackers too. Like, there's just dudes swarming, and it just becomes a struggle. And I think that, you know, when you can't take the top off that defense, you're allowing them to really get a lot of pressure and create some problems. Hull, man, he toughed it out. I tell you what, he was as rugged and tough as you could hope. He ran, you know, he tried to pick up yards. He did a lot of really, really good things. And then they got a big play from Jack Leesman that gave him a shot late, a pick six for like 70-something yards. I mean, they got some big plays. They really, I think, tested Louisa. The thing is that when a lot of times when Louisa is tested, they do what Louisa did in that game, which is lean on that defense and then try and control the clock on offense by running old single wing stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think what you see from Louisa is sort of the swagger of team that's had success in the playoffs. And so they just have confidence that this is what we have to go do to win this football game, you know, change things up a little bit because it's worked in the past. And then playoff conditions, too. I mean, it's a good team. Field conditions are always an issue in November. Mm-hmm. And so you just sort of you got to find a way to make hay with it. And that's what they do over there.
I mean, like, crazy thing is, first look I'd gotten at Alex Washington, and that kid's impressive. He's a
They're very excited about him over there.
Yeah, Washington is tough. He's really good. And then you flip over, Noah Robinson can play a little bit. And then Caleb Shelton, man, he looked really good.
He was back. I mean, he was very, sort of quiet for him in the Albemarle game and then back in your game in Western. That's, for them, if they're adding depth to that backfield already, it's going to be
Shelton, Hunter, man. And it's like two different teams. When they have Allender back there at quarterback and they shift Hunter over to play tailback, or they can change between Shelton and Hunter, you know, whatever they come up with, it seems like it works. But Washington was playing the O-back, and he was doing some of the quick, the quick hitter stuff that comes right out of that. I mean, it's like you got to prepare for a lot.
You have
tape
to play
is nuts.
Yeah,
you tape have to play is it. Nuts when it comes to Louisa, because you have to figure out the single wing. But like, if they come out and spread you out, and Allender starts tossing, a little bit, like, that can really cause a lot of problems for you too. So I don't know. I don't want to prepare for Louisa.
I think you just have to play it so safe against them and hope the big plays don't happen. Because if they just grind you down,
I think you're right.
Simple yardage. You just got to hope that
playing Louisa is almost a game of survival at this point. Like, you're just like trying to get through to the next week and get out of there. I mean, you want to try and win,
I'd rather get beat by the deep ball than just completely run into the ground.
But they can, and that's the crazy thing, though, is they can beat you by the deep ball.
Exactly.
Which is terrifying. I mean, they could last year, too, no question. Malik Bell could uncork it, go to Matt West or somebody. But this team is just, it seems like that they can shift to a different gear for whatever the conditions are. And that's the mark of like a really, really good football team. I mean, you can just change. I don't know. It was almost like they threw the truck into low gear and just like drove up the mountain. Like, that's what it felt like. I mean, in the second half in particular, it was just like a lot of Jared Hunter and a lot of grinding and pushing it up the hill. And Hunter too, man, underrated as just a pure quarterback. And, he called the play that, created the touchdown right before the half. He's just such a smart guy. And we talked about him before as a point guard. He does some of that. He brings some of that same skill set to the field.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked a little bit about it last week. A lot of it is just him making the right reads, mm-hmm. When to hand off, when
he's
to break.
He's tough, man.
So, yeah, they're fun to watch because they're just – the way people are talking about Kansas City after that game, or just how versatile they are, kind of thing. How many playmakers? Yeah. Like, Louisa's like got a high school version of that going on.
Yeah. If Jared Hunter throws with left hand like Pat Mahomes, though, we're gonna get nuts, man. That's gonna get wild. No, it's not particularly a challenge or anything, but you're right. Like, there's so many different things they can do. It's just very, very difficult to stop. Albemarle Monticello, you flip over there, that's a huge, huge win for the Patriots, getting it done against a Monticello team that has obviously had a run here where things just really haven't gone their way.
Yeah, I think if you're Monticello, it's very simple. It's about just getting back to basic football and not letting things on the sidelines or any of the sort of extracurriculars of football bother you. And just going out there and hard work, hard nose, and trying to pick up some wins like they did against Monroe. For Albemarle, this is sort of a must-win situation for them because they just couldn't afford to fall to 0-5 and have a shot at trying to make it back to the postseason.
Not in that region.
No. So what this sets them up for is to get a little momentum. The worst part of their schedule is over. But Western, Orange, these teams aren't going to be pushovers. They've got to match up with Fluviana too. Nothing will be given to them, so they're going to have to go out there and take it. But good to see them sort of bounce back from that Louisa game. That situation where they had to play Patrick Henry and Louisa just a couple days apart after not getting to play for like 2 weeks, basically. That's just really complicated.
There's not any team in the JD but Louisa that could probably handle that.
Yeah.
Like, that is just, that's a really tall task. It's a tough situation.
And then, and of course, when, that scenario winds up happening, Louisa had their bye week.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so Albemarle, I mean, now it's just back to regular football on Fridays. Mm-hmm. Like everything's normal again, and they're getting to play the teams that they're really familiar with. And I think we're going to see just a lot of big games, you know, sort of the 150 here, 150 there from Taylor. And then Miles Ward is going to be a problem for anybody. If you have a secondary going up against Albemarle, you can talk to the guys at Louisa. What a matchup nightmare he is. He's a big dude, and he can go up and get it. He can fly. He has all the things you want in a receiver.
Yeah, and he's like a shooter that saw it go in a lot.
Yeah.
Against Monticello, like he's going to be
41-yard touchdown, 43-yard touchdown, and a 14-yarder.
That's working.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, we knew Miles Ward is a heck of an athlete. He's, you know, all the stuff he did in football at Stab, notwithstanding, it's to me what proved what a good athlete he was during basketball season, where they would stick him. He had to guard post players in the prep league. And the prep league is loaded with dudes that you do not really want to mess with. Armando Bacot, he's no longer, I think he transferred to a school in Florida, but that's a guy who's, did he commit to Carolina, over this?
The prep league is just all, like, it's sort of the back, the front court of the ACC in a couple of years. Like, there's just, and they're huge.
Yeah, they're absolutely huge. And Miles has given up huge, you know, inches to these guys, just giving up all kinds of height, and he kept fighting and he kept playing these guys, and sometimes he would give them all kinds of problems. He's just an athletic, rugged, tough kid. You know, when he is ready to go, he's tough. And so it's fun to see him get going. You know, and it seems like everything's starting to click for him. And you take that and you combine that with a backfield. This is a Quandre Taylor and Makai Washington. We're big Makai Washington people over here, big fans. I think the guy runs as hard as anybody. So you take those three pieces together and an offensive line that's getting better, that's developing a little bit, that had to replace so many guys from a pretty good line, and now they're starting to develop, that they're figuring it out. It's a lot of fun to see what Albemarle's doing. And the defense has got, you know, they got playmakers over there. They got Marquan Jones. They got, you know, a lot of guys who, you know, Eric Taylor and John Barber, that can make stops. Albemarle, like you said, I think that they've got the goods to be able to win it out. So that takes us to one more. We've already talked about Gooch and Buckingham. You know, we want to talk about Blue Ridge almost getting the comeback down against North Cross. You know, frustrating to see the Barons drop that one. They really, that would have been a huge boost for them as far as playoff type stuff goes. But they've got a bunch of winnable games right here down the road. They do play Benedictine. That's a tough matchup. But other than that, they got some winnable games here. They could get back in it. But great to see Xavier came in. He's just always impressive, and he just never quits. And that kid kind of willed them back in it in some ways.
Yeah, you don't think a team has a shot when you're down, 28-13 with 5:04 left.
Yeah.
And they come up just short. It's 28-26. But yeah, Kane's just so dynamic at quarterback. It's good to see him back again after getting dinged up. But yeah, that's another team that, like, if their schedule, again, front loaded, it seems to be a theme for a lot of these schools this year. If they can just get things turned around real quick, hopefully they got a shot to slip in there.
I think they play Norfolk Christian.
Yeah.
See, that's going to end up being a big one because Norfolk Christian is sort of sitting in that fourth spot in the state rankings right now. So you're going to want to see Blue Ridge going to have to probably win that one. They got Fishburne, you know, that's another one they win. I think Massanutten maybe is on there as well. Is that right?
We can look it up. But
yeah, I don't remember. But anyway, they got to beat Norfolk Christian. They got to beat Fishburne. If they can kind of take care of business here at the end of the year, maybe they can squeeze themselves back in the playoffs. But they have not shied away from a really tough schedule. They've gotten great performances. You know, Xavier Kane played really great. They got Malik Brown is coming along as a receiver. They got some really nice things happening. You know, at wideout, Michael Asher is a heck of a player. Isis Lewis, they got weapons. So they got enough weapons that if they can close the deal and you know, figure out a way to win some of these games here at the end, maybe they can get themselves
out. Yeah, we got Norfolk Christian. Norfolk Christian, Randolph Macon Academy, Fishburne, and Benedictine. That last one's really tough. But yeah, they have a chance to get on a roll here before having to deal with Benedictine.
That's awesome. So we're really diving into it. We're going to have our first postseason look update later this week. So a lot happening. It's kind of a big time of year. So we really appreciate y'all listening, and we'll be back with you next week.